Good morning and what is happening? Welcome to the Morning Hookah Show, the show that is all about the morning, the hookah, the morning in the hookah in the morning. We like to talk about the industry, the world of hookah, the products, and the people that made them. Today is a very good day for something like that. The Morning Hookah Show is live every single Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, give or take a 15-minute break. And we have a new topic all the time right here at youtube.com/morninghookah. I am your host on this adventure. My name is Matt. I've been smoking hookah for over 10 years, working in the industry as a reviewer, product taster, personality, host of many different events as well. But I am not alone on this adventure. Joining me today, I have a full team. Let me repeat, a full team hanging out with me to discuss something very cool happening in the world of hookah. I have Paul, the admin from Hookah University. Robert Bodby, whatever you call him, just make sure you call him an extraordinary member of the community. He's going to be hanging out with me as well. And then also the man behind Cloud Lotus, Reza. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to do this. We're going to do a round robin to see what everybody is up to. So let's go ahead and jump into this show. I'll go ahead and start with Reza. Reza, how are you doing today? Thank you so much for joining us. How are you on this, your evening, correct?
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here with you guys. I'm grateful to you guys all for helping to coordinate and make this happen. It's fun. I have to be honest, I'm a little bit tired because I've been traveling at a pretty breakneck pace, and I'm super envious of all three of you with the pipes over there because I'm in a hotel room without the ability to smoke right now, but I will be in a few hours. So.
Very nice, very nice. Well, once again, thank you for joining us, Reza from Cloud Lotus. You are, what is your official title at Cloud? Is it CEO, creator? What are you exactly?
Yeah, I would say founder.
Okay, sounds good. And then we'll go ahead and jump over to Robert. Robert, it looks like you are smoking on this morning. We're all in the morning time. He's in the evening time. So what are you smoking at the moment, Robert?
Yeah, glad as always to be here. You know, like to start the morning, the best part of waking up is a nice bowl of hookah. I'm smoking some Bozina from Element Airline. Phenomenal elderberry floral situation. And I'm actually smoking out of the Calyx. Phenomenal Cloud product.
Okay, calm down over there. My goodness, already. No, I'm just kidding. It is a gorgeous looking hookah. And hopefully we'll be talking about all the hookah products as well in just a little while. But Paul, what about you? What are you smoking on this morning?
Morning, Matt. I am smoking out of an Alpha X with my brand new 1010 Tentacle Bowl. And I have the Cloud V3 on there with some Sasha Gray getting started.
Very, very nice. I'm smoking a mix of the I'm doing some Azure peaches and cream. Really big fan of this flavor. It's one of the blonde flavors that I really enjoy smoking if I'm smoking in the morning. Nice, light, bright, not gonna drag you down. It doesn't make you fall into your chair and fall asleep and stuff like that. So it's really nice for that. And then also a very strong mint, the Reaper, actually, from Chaos. One of the few flavors from Chaos that I really enjoy is the Reaper. It's a really strong menthol that's a blonde, so it kind of mixes really well with that flavoring. And then I am also using my Cloud Lotus. I am using a Cloud Lotus V3. I really enjoy this HMD a lot. I'm using my Vitria bowl on it as well. And I'm using the Citra, the thermal diffuser. So I can't give Robert a hard time because I am also here making sure to say positive things because there's some really positive things that we definitely want to talk about for sure. But let's go ahead and get into what the plan of today's episode is. This is the plan of the show this week is to talk to Reza, learn a little bit about who he is, the man behind Cloud, and ask a few questions about the Cloud brand as well. I'm really excited to kind of try to get to know you and the branding a little bit more. Give it to the listeners and the people that are listening over at Hookah University and on youtube.com/morninghookah to learn some information as well. And if you guys have questions, we are going to have a question and answer segment towards the end of the show as well. So if there's questions that you've been dying to ask Reza, everybody right now, prepare on your keyboard to ask during the question answer segment, say, hey, Reza, what do you think about 2-Apple? That's the question everybody should ask just one after another, one after another. Just hold that in your back pocket, basically. But let's go ahead and get into this and ask you the very first question that we have set up right now, which is, who is Reza? Who are you? Who is Reza, if you don't mind me asking? Take us through, tell us your hookah story, and just give us some background information.
I'm so tempted to give you like a deep philosophical answer to that question, right. but instead, what I would say is, you know, I'm somebody that came into the tradition of hookah in 2001, really fell in love with it. I mean, I I think probably you guys would be the same, where it was like I took a couple of puffs and I was like, wow, I really like this. And then from there, it was like I was climbing a mountain that I never thought I would even see. I had my first experience in London in 2001. And then at that time, I was traveling and I kept moving on from there, traveling throughout Europe and then later on into Iran. And I would find places where there was hookah and I would connect with people in that way. And so when you ask me who I am, I guess I'm a person that has a passion for what I do, which is creating, I think, some of the best hookah products right now, and connecting with people in the community, people like you.
That's a great answer. I appreciate that. It sounds like you've been enjoying hookah for a very long time. I think a lot of us remember those first times we enjoyed hookah and kind of that taken back experience of like, oh, this is pretty cool, and just wanting to become more involved in it as we learn more about it and stuff, become far more enthusiast about it and stuff. Obviously, you take your passion. Good.
And also there's a moment when you're taking that first puff on a hookah, and I don't know if it was like this for you guys, but you don't know what hookah smoke actually tastes like or feels like. For me, I was expecting it to be like a cigar or a cigarette or a pipe. And then that thing hit me and it was like smooth and flavorful. And it wasn't like, I didn't cough, I didn't like gag. It was fantastic, man. It was actually, yeah, sorry, amazing. Go ahead.
No, I agree with that. I 100% agree. You sit down, first time I went to this hookah lounge when I was in college, sit down and start smoking and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I don't know what to expect, but I did. I assumed immediately this is going to be harsh. This is going to be, this is going to be whatever it's going to be. And then you smoke it and it was watermelon was my very first time I smoked it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like a gummy. Like what the heck? This is amazing. Definitely involves you.
I literally, before I took my first puff, I told my buddy, his name is also Reza. He's like, try this. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not going to like it. And he's like, no, trust me, you're going to like it. I'm not going to like it. He's like, just take one puff. And I took the one puff and I was like, and I'll never forget, it was grape and mint. And I was like, dude, this is pretty incredible. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, we got to ask now, what is it that you enjoy smoking? What are the flavors? What are the types of hookah flavors that you enjoy? What is it about the hookah smoke that you do enjoy, besides the fact that it is not harsh, it's very smooth and flavorful, but what are some of the flavors and things that you enjoy smoking when it comes to hookah?
Yeah, I think for me, my flavor profile would tend to be like, I really love clean flavors like citrus and mint. I also love mango mixed with citrus. And so that's like, if you're smoking with me and Robert and Paul and I did a call a while back, and I had mixed up some morangi and mandarin zest, and that's for me heaven. I love it. Anyway, my taste profile in life tends to be more towards citrus as well, like grapefruit, tangerines, things like that.
Very nice. Do you have a recommendation when it comes to mangoes? What is a very good mango flavor? Because I find, this could be me, Paul. What is your opinion on mangoes as well? Because to me, some mango flavors, there's good ones out there, but a lot of mango flavors kind of smoke hot, kind of like a pineapple flavor, how they kind of get that like kind of hot taste to it where it's not quite that brightness and that flavorful.
Right, right, right.
That's how I feel about mango sometimes. Do you have a recommendation for a good mango?
You know, in fairness to you, I don't typically just smoke mango by itself. Never, actually, have I ever smoked mango by itself. I when I'm referring to mango, I'm referring to morangi, which is a blend of mango and orange from Pure.
Pure. Top tier flavor.
Yeah, and I buy that stuff by the case. I mean, I'm like it's in almost every mix that I make now. So I'm kind of nice. I guess in that way boring as well, because you guys are like all these like different flavors that you have and everything else. I'm like, dude, morangi for sure is somewhere in the mix.
Bobby, we gotta get Reza our mango mix.
Oh, totally. I'm a man of my word, and Reza, you know, you will be receiving this other citrus flavor. I apologize that you haven't received it yet, but I'm going to send him some grapefruit pomelo. I think he'll really enjoy that, you know, from Element.
I would love that. Yeah. No, I grapefruit, all that stuff. Pomelo, I'm into it. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of us, when it comes to the starting stages of hookah, and then we talked about this off the live a little bit. We were talking about how we like start in one position. We kind of go in a circle of things that we like, and then we kind of come full circle at times and stuff. And I feel like citruses, for me, are also kind of like that. I remember starting smoking hookah and really falling with the you know, the grapefruit mint and the orange mint and kind of different things like that, and kind of slowly falling away there, I've become a very big fan of things that are very floral. I enjoy like Static Starlight, the new one from Azor called Persian Rose. I'm really a big fan of, like, I really like that kind of floral background to it. I don't like smoking rose by itself, but now I definitely enjoy citruses to a different level than I used to. Like a good citrus, so good.
Oh, yeah.
So
awesome. You know, it's actually interesting that you're talking about rose, because for a while rose was like one of my accent flavors. Like I would do 10% mint and then I would do 5% rose as well. So you would just taste it on the back end, because rose for me was one of those things where if you just packed a bowl of rose, it was like
too much.
It's potpourri. It's like smoking a grandma. You don't do that. That's not appropriate.
The first time I tried rose, it was from Roman tobacco.
Oh, wow.
And I did it straight, and I was like, this is a bad idea. I'm never doing that again. It's like, lesson learned.
I'm actually curious if you got through the whole bowl, because I probably would stop very quickly.
I think we did. We just powered through it, because it was like we didn't have much.
When you're first starting out, like, and the only bowl you pack is all you have to smoke, like, you do whatever you have to get through it. Because you ain't about to waste it.
You're not going to waste it, for sure.
I will
agree that, you know, rose is has always been one of my favorite accent notes. I'm a very floral facing guy on the flavor profile. I love it all, but mixing in floral to some of my favorite, you know, base fruit flavors and whatnot is one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we spent enough time talking about flavors. There's always more recommendations and things that we can speak about on that for always. Larry in the chat at the moment just said, that's how my first time went. I went to a lounge with a buddy for his birthday. Larry was very anti-smoking. He took one puff, and then he went home with a KM and a 250 of Nakhla Double Apple.
Yeah, nice.
Which, if anybody has met Larry, this is not that crazy of a story to hear.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Larry. And he's right. Like, I'll take that KM, please. He's like, oh, this is for use. He's like, I'll take that KM, please. Like,
give me the whole setup.
Now Larry's going lives and smoking in his car. It's great.
Yeah, that's Larry. We went to Vegas with Larry, and we were like, oh, should we get pizza? And Larry's like, I'll take care of the pizza. And we're like, okay, cool. He'll get a couple of large pizzas, right? No, he bought these pizzas. He's like, what's the biggest pizza you have? And he bought, I think it was four of them for like less than 20 people total. And when we went to pick them up, we almost couldn't fit them in the back of the car. That's how big these pizzas were. And we showed up, and Larry's like, oh, I think I made a mistake.
I like him.
Larry's great. A similar story really quickly. When we did the meetup in NOLA, New Orleans, Larry hooked it up with one of the main things they do out there. I can't remember exactly what they're called, but it's the alcohol slushies. You know, Larry got like, how many gallons did he get, Paul? Like this delivery service, we had like.
I don't remember. I remember hearing the story, but it was like you guys came home with, like, I think Jesse still has some in his house.
This was a year ago, guys.
This is over a year ago. This is over a year ago at this point. Daiquiris, 10 gallons. Larry says it was 10 gallons.
It was 10, okay.
Wear that loud and proud. All right, so let's go ahead and move on before we get too sidetracked from talking about the legend that is Larry, obviously. Where did the idea of Cloud come from? Where did that kind of get born from? And then what were the starting points to it? The very first time that I remember hearing about a Cloud Lotus was, it was 2008, 2007, somewhere around that time period, maybe even 10 or 11. I'm not sure now. Now I'm second guessing.
It would have been 2012.
2012,
yeah,
okay. And I was watching YouTube. It was Dragonfly Mike 777 on YouTube. That was the very first video I ever saw of the Cloud Lotus. And I remember thinking, and this is of no slight to you or your brand, I remember thinking that I thought it was like the metal trays that you used to put on top of your old Egyptian bowls.
I
was like, there's no way this is good. And he kept raving about it. And he kept saying all these positive things. So it was such a weird experience to hear about it. And it was the first new thing in hookah that I didn't understand at that time, obviously. But where did the idea of Cloud come from, and where did that kind of get born from?
Well, first of all, let me just say that I have a lot of love for Dragonfly Mike. That guy was awesome. He kind of fell out of the community. I don't know if anybody knows where he is, but I had a communication with him right before he left, and it wasn't like anything negative. It wasn't like his life was going in a bad direction. He had a spiritual experience, but he was an asset to the community in my mind. Him and Smoker passed. Obviously Sean is still around and very active. I have a lot of love for both of those guys. They're fantastic. The idea for the Lotus came from a desire to create actually an electric head. So when I founded Cloud, I did some research because I, when I like something, I go deep into it and I try to learn how to make it better and like work at it from every angle. And I started researching hookah to try and understand what are the health effects in hookah. And I don't remember if the study had yet been done, the one that talks about hookah being 100 cigarettes, which we can talk about that later if you guys want. The study is, the claim is accurate. The details around the claim are spurious, so to speak. Yeah. But with that said, I did some research and the site that I was reading basically was talking about how charcoal is actually the worst thing in the hookah smoke. And so I started thinking about how I could make an electric head. And in 2010, I started working on an electric head. And for 2 years, and different engineers and designers worked on different concepts. And none of them were really doing what we needed it to do. And then the decision was made. I made the decision that we would try and do it with charcoal, but make the charcoal somehow less harmful. And so we started with with different concepts. We had some other spare parts from other prototypes that we had created. And I kind of like took a piece from, we were making a thing that was going to poke holes in foil. It was like a plate that had all these pokers in it. So you could just like stamp the foil and all the holes would be there automatically. So I took one of those and then I folded up some aluminum foil and I wrapped it around the edge and, it created kind of like this, I don't know, coil effect, I guess. And we put our charcoal in there and put some foil on top as a lid. And I'll never forget those first puffs. I mean, like I had never tasted flavor like that in a hookah. It actually made my mouth water. It was that good. I mean, like it tasted that good to me. And so at that moment, I knew that we had something and we were off to the races.
Beautiful.
It sounds like you semi-prototyped the Provost HMD.
That's amazing.
Well, the Provost, I think the way that they're using it is that it goes onto foil, right?
That's how we use it as a community. That's how it's been kind of taken over by the enthusiast community and stuff. But the original intent of the Apple on Top, the Provost, was it was supposed to go with the Apple on Top bowl, which is that bowl that has the metal insert inside of it. Put that directly on top of it, so it's supposed no foil. Yeah. We just have taken it to that different level, and we've kind of changed the usage of it, obviously, over the years. But just the fact that the tray with the holes and all that kind of stuff as well. So interesting.
No, there was no holes in the tray. Oh. So it was a plate with spikes on the bottom. To poke holes the holes in foil. Yeah. It was a Teflon-coated plate that we had. I mean, like, I don't know. I still have pictures of the thing, but it was like a bunch of, like, spiky, like, needles coming down at the bottom.
Do you still have some of those electric head prototypes? That's history right there. That's
I do. I have a lot of the early prototypes. I mean, like, I have so many things in there. There was a period of time where we were using, or I was working with a butane concept.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I would just like, I was doing all these things. Butane can work. The problem is the fact that you would have a butane canister near you while you're smoking.
Right. I don't know. I don't know about that for sure. But if you say so.
The explosive experience could be.
So what is the history then of Cloud as a company? Obviously you create the prototypes and then you start to create the Furcha HMD and stuff. HMD, for anyone that doesn't know that is watching, heat management device, that's how we refer to it. Is that was HMD something that Cloud created? Did you trademark that? I don't even, should I be giving you a quarter every time I say that?
I didn't trademark it. It was a phrase that I came up with to explain it to the wholesalers I was trying to sell the product to.
Because well, thank I would you call for them... not trademarking that, because I don't know if I could pay the amount of times that I've said that word out loud.
Absolutely.
We basically, when I would call, I mean, for a very long time, it was just basically me. And when I would call a wholesaler, I'd be like, hey, man, I have this product. Would love for you guys to carry it. And they would say, well, this is a wind cover. Why would I spend this much money on a wind cover? And I'd be like, no, it's not a wind cover. It's a heat management system, or it's a heat management device. I created a phrase that would more accurately represent what this thing was.
That's amazing to think that the first couple of phone calls that you had selling this device, they were referring to it as a wind cover, because the only thing that we would have had in comparison to that at the time
was
in fact something like a wind cover. So that's so interesting to hear that. I never put those two together, but that makes total sense, obviously, like thinking about it now.
Almost every call, by the way, was a no. They were not interested.
Oh boy!
Really?
Now you get a point.
Especially back then, because there was like a race to the bottom in terms of price. So when I came in and I'm like, "Look, we're gonna." At that time, it was the wood box with the Lotus, the original Lotus, and I think the retail on that was like $59.95 or $69, something like that. It was like unheard of. And you know, when I mentioned that to them, they were already like, "No, this is why would somebody spend that much money on a wind cover?"
That brings up a very interesting. So the first thing I want to say is Larry, once again, chiming in the chat. Thank you, Larry, for joining us and giving us this great insight onto the legend that is you. He said the first Lotus that I bought was from the same lounge, had just got in with it, had a little wooden box with a lock on it, and he used it for years. So this is one of those original ones back in the day.
Collector's item. That's right. Yeah, that's a collector's item.
I would imagine Larry Price still has it. Do you still have that wooden box, Larry? You should have it up on a mantle place. But I want to talk to you about price. That's such an interesting, I think, kind of curiosity, especially for me personally and stuff, because you really took the I believe that you've taken hookah and you've created a very luxury type item with a lot of stuff that you sell at Cloud. And the pricing, I think, also signifies that as well. There's a lot of luxury that comes with the branding of Cloud, and the pricing really goes along with that as well. What is it to you that that you feel helps with the demand of the price that you kind of asked for? We talked about, me and Paul, we talked about this briefly. We feel that you have a very interesting scale of price. You have an entry level pricing when it comes to a lot of the things. I feel like your bowls are very well priced. I feel like the thermal diffuser is very well priced. I think your HMDs have a very acceptable price as well. And then you start to get into the larger, more exquisite or luxury items and stuff like the tongs and the hookahs and stuff like that. Like, where does this sort of luxury kind of lifestyle item and pricing kind of speak to you, and how does that kind of like work into what you're doing with the brand Cloud? I know that's kind of a question that kind of went all over the place, but if there's a thread there that you can grab onto, what would you say to it?
Yeah, I don't think we are, like, we're not targeting luxury specifically. I mean, I do think we have products like the Chrysalis Monarch that are, there's a higher ticket price to it. You know, I get this question in literally every interview, and for me at this stage, there are a couple of answers I would give. I would say, number one, yeah, we try to be fair with all of our pricing, always, right? Like, we really look at it, and we're not like other companies where we're just copying what's out there and making minor design tweaks. We're actually investing in the research and development, and we're testing our products. We're doing things that, quite frankly, a company as small as we are probably shouldn't be doing, from a just kind of like fiscal management, right? So, from that, there are costs that are born, right? And so we somehow have to amortize all of the price tags that are associated with things like research and development and testing and all the other things that we're trying to do for the community at the end of the day. So that's baked into every product. As far as, you know, kind of how we calculate the pricing, when you go from some of our, let's say, less complicated products to something like the Calyx or the Altheria, these are engineered in a very different way than a regular hookah. I don't know if you guys have ever used them. Robert, obviously, I know you are, but I don't know if Paul or Matt, you guys have had a chance to use them, but they, obviously, they're performing a similar function, but they do it in a different way that leads, we believe, to a better outcome. And so the manufacturing techniques that we use, the materials that we're using, all of these things are more expensive than most of the other standard basin stem hookahs that you have out there, which are essentially pipes being lathed and drilled. And, you know, they have some ball bearings that they throw in there, and the glass that's blown is kind of blown in a standard way.
Yeah. Go ahead, Robert.
I was just saying, Paul, I brought it by his place, and he got to use it. He was really enjoying it. I mean, whenever we have time, when we go around, I'll say some things about it as well, and what I enjoy.
We did like 6-hour R&D with it, just testing it out, and I think I 100% agree with what Reza just said. There's technologies within these hookahs that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
The functionality. And the way that it's, the way that it delivers flavor is unlike what like my setup is right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like the flavor output, the way that the clouds like spin in the hookah, like you could see it spins. Vortex, yeah. It's it does this little vortex that you could see it. It's visual, it moves in the way that it's described. And the way that it pulls, there's something about it that I don't know. I've gotten notes smoking out of a Bobby's pipe that I've never gotten before, and it's from a flavor and a tobacco brand that I've been packing for years.
This might just be a perfect point to chime in just a little bit here and say, so yeah, we were on call. We were doing it for 4 or 5 hours. We had Eddie and a lot of the guys in there, and they were really excited about some of the things we were saying. I think one of those things that we are chasing, like we were talking about from our first experiences and whatnot, are, in a general sense, novel experiences, especially people like us who have been smoking for the better part of 20 years. It's always amazing when you get a product and you have this new experience with products that you're very familiar with. And that's something that Cloud delivers. And I think that the price points reflect this. It's interesting what you were saying, Reza, about how it was a race to the bottom in terms of price. In some ways, that philosophy has kind of continued, and I think that's why it's always difficult for people to get into brands like Cloud. The products really have to prove themselves, as the Lotus did, and just kind of blew everyone away and changed the standard in the industry. But it's very hard for people to access, or like, why should I do that? I mean, we still have people in the group buying gas station hookahs that we try to recommend them against and push them in the right direction. But once you actually get into it, so something I was going to mention later, I'll just say really quickly, the Calyx has become my daily hookah, guys, believe it or not. I've put the Union down. I'll smoke it maybe once a week, but every day I smoke the Calyx. And when you get past some of the initial things that are different from your normal smoking experiences, like a lot of us like more open draws and things like this, and really kind of harsher smoke, you end up realizing it's nothing at all. The restriction on this pipe that was something that was a negative point for us initially is reacclimating oneself, to the experience. And that's what I try to do with every product, is like embrace the philosophy of that product and experience it fully. And I'm glad that I did it with this, but I'll stop rambling here.
Very interesting.
Paul and Bobby, the checks are in the mail. Thank you very much. Yeah, right. No, I mean, honestly, for me, listening to them, this is exactly what I hope to hear from everybody that has one of our products, that I didn't know what it was at first. It was something very different. I had to learn how to use it properly. And when I learned how to use it properly, this has now become the gold standard for me.
That's
what I love.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No,
I was going to say, we are going to have a question and answer towards the end of this live. So I want to make sure that anyone that has some questions that they are considering or wanting to ask and stuff, make sure you keep those in the back of your mind, because I do want to have an open floor discussion with anybody that's watching that would like to ask a question. So if you have questions that you're wanting to ask directly to the founder of Cloud Lotus, he's right here for you to ask those questions. So right now is the time. I don't care what you ask in your question. It could be anything. And I will ask the question for you, because it ain't my question. It's your question. So if you want to state it, you can state it. But I think it's interesting some of the lines that you've spoken about so far when it comes to those kinds of things, because I've had conversations with people in the background when we've seen the pricing of the structure of some of the products and some of the things like the hookahs especially and stuff. And something that I've always said towards them is these products are for people that are interested in these kinds of experiences. I think that that is something that's always very true to me. Like, I think when it comes to wanting to step in and purchase something of this caliber and this price structure and stuff, you are looking for that kind of experience. And I think that that goes a long way with it when it comes to the pricing of it as well. Now, we had spoken in the back, and I hate to put you on the hot seat at the moment, but you did say that we could give away a Cloud Lotus HMD3, a Vitria Bowl, and the Citria, the thermal diffuser. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're happy to give somebody a Lotus 3, any of the Samsaris bowls, the new Samsaris bowls that they want, and the Citra thermal diffuser.
I keep saying the Vitria. I apologize. The Samsaris bowls. Okay. I don't know why I keep saying that.
Well, the Vitria is one of them. That's right. It's the glass one. Yeah.
It's the one that's in my mind for some reason. It's the only one that I can pronounce correctly, so it's the one that I say automatically, basically, is what's happening.
As the guy that's creating the nomenclature for the company, I apologize.
Reza, that means so much to me. You have no idea.
We'll be on calls, and they'll be like, what is this called again? And even me, man. And I'm like, I don't know.
Here's
Matt has a history of mispronouncing things that are hookah related on his reviews, his lives, everything. It's amazing.
In fairness, I name products like Tolkien wrote Elvish language, so I'm pretty aggressive on.
Here's how we are going to do
this.
That's great.
Oh my God.
Here's how we're going to give this away live. Everybody that's watching on Facebook right now, this is what you have to do to enter this. Bobby, can you do me a favor? Do you have a pen and a piece of paper anywhere near you, or Paul? Do
right
either
here.
Of you? Okay, awesome, perfect. This is what we're going to do. Everybody that is watching on Facebook right now, this is what you have to do. You have to tag a person, anybody that you want to. Tag anybody that you want to and just say, enter my entry and then tag somebody. That's all you have to do to enter into this on Facebook. If you're watching on YouTube, all you have to do is just say my entry. If you just type in my entry and then share this video anywhere. It doesn't matter where you're sharing it. Just share the video wherever you want to. Share the video. Type in the word my entry. I will tell Bobby your name. So Larry, type in Larry's our first entry right now. Larry, and he tagged David. So he is now our first entry into this. Everybody that says it, Levant. This
you know
is
what? I want to hook up Larry just because I like Larry, dude. Larry is awesome.
He is the legend. Great, he is the legend. This is for the USA or is this worldwide?
We can do it worldwide.
Worldwide. I don't know if we have a lot of worldwide listeners at the moment, but very simple. Once again, to say my entry, share the video wherever you want to, and then I'll make sure that Bobby gets your name. So, Bobby, here's the names that we have so far. Larry, Levant, L-E-V-E-N-T, Rose, F, Death, all one word, and Gene. Those are our first entries. Once we get more entries, I will tell you those names and we'll kind of keep rolling with it and stuff. And we will give this away at the end of the live. Very simple and easy. Tag somebody on Facebook, say my entry on the YouTube, just say my entry and share the video anywhere that you want to. And at the end of this, we will go ahead and give away the Samsaris Bowl, the thermal diffuser, because I don't want to pronounce the name, and
Citra.
I knew that one. Yeah. And also the HMD Cloud Lotus 3, which is fantastic. So let's go ahead and talk about. So we talked a little bit about the Cloud Lotus HMD. We've also talked about the hookahs, obviously. My next question for you is, after how long of having the HMD did you start to navigate and go into different types of products? And what was that experience like moving from HMDs and these Cloud Lotuses into other products? What was that kind of entry into? Paul, you can't enter. You are not allowed to enter this part. You're not allowed to enter. But yeah, what was it like going into different types of things?
You know, I mean, for me, product design and development was an unknown space. And so it was very challenging. I mean, like every single product was really hard. So as soon as we finished the Lotus, or I finished the Lotus, I then wanted to create a bowl that would work well with the Lotus. And so we created the Samsaris, the first one, which was full silicone. And That was a beautiful product. People really liked it. I think the biggest complaint about it was that it was ghosting flavors, which I understood and I would agree with. And then also like the center spire over time, the heat was degrading the silicone. So the silicone would flake off. And so to correct that, we decided to go to more robust materials, things like first glass, then metal. And then when we entered ceramic, we entered with a kind of special ceramic that's super shatter resistant, very strong, clean. And believe it or not, we started designing the chrysalis, the Monarch, in 2014. So it was like a 3.5 year process for us to get the Monarch kind of designed. And then it was 4 years before we were able to ship into the market. And that was a true labor of love. I mean, like everybody that worked on that project, we really wanted to do something that wasn't just a standard base and stem. I don't think that there's anything wrong with base and stem hookahs, but I felt like Cloud as a company, and I still feel like Cloud as a company, should try and blaze new trails to the extent that it's possible. Because I think, quite frankly, if I was just somebody in the community, I would really want that. I like diversity. I like the opportunity to experience things in new ways. And I think to the extent that we're willing to do it, I know other companies are also doing it as well. And there are really good examples out there of companies that are just like, they're doing things from such a different perspective that it's enriching, you know, right? It's not just a Me Too play. It's people really bringing interesting design and technology into our passion.
So you talk about the ceramic that you use, which is shatter resistant and heavy and stuff. My question to you, this is kind of a little bit off the kilter, so I apologize, but I don't know if you're familiar with this video Hookajohn did a few years ago when you came out with the glass insert into it. Did you ever see the video where he dropped the glass insert?
I don't remember him drop. I think I saw the video and he like threw the bowl up and it came back down.
So he dropped it and he bounced it off his foot because he got nervous, obviously. And then he's like, should I just drop it? And everyone obviously with him, and he's like, yeah, go ahead and drop it, John. Go ahead and do it. So he dropped it. And of course it broke because it's glass. And of course it's glass, going to. Yeah. But like it was a very moment of like everybody was – I remember like holding my breath like, what if it doesn't break? And he just like found a way to like be this magical glass and stuff like that. But it was a fun video, obviously. I know that they're very well made. Anybody that has had a chance to put their hands on these sort of products, obviously, I think realizes that. But it's just so interesting the way that you R&D and the way that you create these processes and stuff and the way that you keep evolving and changing. Just it reminded me of that a little bit. So we have two more entries. Go ahead and write down. I don't know how to pronounce your name. I apologize. K-O-R-O-M.
Oh, it's Krom.
Krom, yeah. Okay. And then we also have Jesus spelt like Jesus.
How do you spell Krom? K-O-R-A-M?
K-O-R-O-M.
O-O-M, okay.
Okay. And we do have some questions building up in the YouTube as well. So if you guys have questions, make sure to have those ready to go for our question and answer segment. If you'd like to enter into this amazing giveaway that we're going to be doing, which is valued at over $190, I'd like to say, all you have to do is tag somebody and then say my entry. And if you're on YouTube, just say my entry and then share the video wherever you want to. That's all you got to do. So those are some of the questions that I had. Paul or Bobby, do you guys have anything that you'd like to bring up to the conversation at the moment? I want to make sure to have you guys participate there as well.
I think just to chime in really quickly here, going off of what the previous thread we were talking about with accessibility and et cetera and experience, you know, it's kind of maybe in some ways one of the eternal questions in regards to hookah. But, you know, how can we continue maybe doing things like this, but to engender the curiosity that all of us had initially with hookah and how we really got into it and you know, earned the title of enthusiast, really. I mean, like any of our sessions here are better than, you know, 90% of the lounges that you go to,
yeah.
You know, personally, you know.
I would say almost 100% of the
time. For sure. Like, me too. I was trying to be generous, but, you know. No, absolutely. And so, you know, most of us don't even go to lounges anymore, except when we're traveling or, you know, just for a meetup in an area that we're not from. But, you know, how can we continue to engender this curiosity? At the very least, it seems like more enthusiasts should be using these products, you know, with less resistance. But I don't know. I wouldn't say that there's a disconnect. But again, this kind of philosophy of everybody really expects things to be quite cheap. And the reason I mention enthusiasts is because a lot of us are willing to spend tons of money on pipes that really kind of do the same thing as everything else. You know, we just like it for the specific aesthetic or something like this. And I think that Cloud has all of that, you know, very wonderful aesthetic, high quality materials, and including, you know, novel smoking experiences. And so, you know, what types of things would you like to see, Reza, or do you think are ways that we can engage with the community to kind of engender this disposition?
I think what you guys are doing right now is a really beautiful example of things that can do that. I think people are looking for community, and hookah is one of the most magnificent tools for building community that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I was smoking with the, I don't know if you guys know a brand called Quasar, mm-hmm. a French brand. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I met him in Dubai.
Yeah. I was with them last night, and we were, you know, it was funny because we were sitting at this cafe and all of us were sitting around a table. We each had our own hookahs, which is like a very typical kind of like experience when you're smoking with friends. But we spent, 5 hours, literally 5 hours together just talking, you know? And I don't know any other kind of medium that opens that kind of possibility, right? And so what you guys are doing here virtually, I think is beautiful. One of the things that I would personally love to see is definitely better quality lounges, because I think the lounge experience to a certain extent turns people off. You know, the lounges are there, they're doing their best. I think most of them are doing their best. Some of them, they don't give a damn, but some of them are most best. And it's very hard to operate a hookah lounge for any of you guys that have ever worked in one or like, you know, maybe perhaps operated one. They're not as easy as they look like from the outside.
Especially now.
So I would love to see higher quality lounges that are offering a richer experience. And then another thing I think you guys are already doing, but I don't know how the word gets out, is the gatherings, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be massive. I mean, everybody waits for like these massive conventions, like, you know, there's these international conventions where there are thousands of people that come to them. I think even if it's just like 3 or 4 people that, you know, they drive and they meet each other, and like the stories you guys have told me about friends that you've made through the forum, like from all parts of the world, I hear this echoed again and again. And I think when people who have never experienced hookah realize that it's not just about the smoke, although that's part of it, when they realize that it's about this community and this camaraderie, I would imagine that people will be interested in that.
Absolutely. Well, I'd say rest easy, at least in this regard. That's how we operate over here. You know, whenever we have like a community locally or people we know are in the same area, we definitely meet up and exchange and test products and loan things to each other. And so it's invaluable, I have to say. You know, having this friendship with Paul and being able to explore flavors and products and always being very generous with hooking each other up with things is amazing.
And you know, something else just came to my mind, which is I'm thinking about all the other different ways that people smoke, right? Like regular pipes, cigarettes, cigars, vape. I don't think they have anything like what hookah has. Maybe cigars to a certain extent.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, cigarette smokers are never like, hey, any other smokers in the city?
You try that new Marlboro? Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, it's so good. You got to try it.
Yeah.
You really got to.
Exactly. I just rolled the best American spirit ever. You don't get that. And I even with the vape, like I don't think that there's community around vape. I think vape is an accessory, whereas hookah tends to be more of a focal point.
It's so much different. I completely agree. Yeah. I've seen the communities that are involve around vape and stuff. And I do feel like there is communities wherever you go, obviously, about anything that has a shared interest of any kind. There will always be some sort of community. But the community and the embracing of hookah, I feel, is very different. I don't think that that's too far of a stretch. Yeah. I did own and operate a lounge for about 2 years, and it was a very interesting time in my life that I did that. And, you know, I was somebody that cared a lot about hookah as an enthusiast very early on. It was something that I cared about. I mean, I run a podcast literally weekly to talk about how much I enjoy smoking hookah and stuff like that. So, like, my interest in hookah is of a little bit of a different level. And when I was running the lounge and stuff, like, I wanted it to be more enthusiast-based. I was doing Tangiers and things like that. I was trying to get more exotic hookahs and different pipes and stuff. You know, it was a much different time when I was doing it in 2009 and 2010 and stuff. It was very different in terms of how hookah is smoked today and what we look at and how we look at it. We do have another entry. Uh-oh, Bobby just disappeared for a moment. He says connection interrupted, so I will tell him as soon as he comes back. Hopefully he does come back. Bobby, come back, please. I don't want to have to rebuild my whole thing, because that would not be good. We'll run with it for a minute. I had another line of question that I was going to say on that, but now I've forgotten. So, Paul, do you have anything that you wanted to add or ask Reza at the moment?
Yeah, I want to add to it in regards to the hookah community building. I feel like, you know, that's kind of been what I wanted to do. You know, taking on the mantle of like kind of a community Facebook driven leadership, right? From THL to here, when I transitioned over, it was about community building, right? That was the essence of it. It was about for a long time, our small, very small hookah communities was so toxic. And I made it a mission to snuff that out. Right. And I think for a certain extent, it's working. The community is in a better place, to the point where other people, other industry people have reached out and said, hey, I think you guys are doing a good job. Please continue the good work that you're doing. Build the community and continue doing these small events where you guys are traveling and advertising it and welcoming new enthusiasts and new people that maybe don't want to come out or are too shy to come out. And bringing them into the fold and welcoming them into what you guys are doing. So I love that aspect of it. And I do hope that in the future, we continue doing that same thing that you're actually saying right now. It's just like, yeah, we're going to build this community and we're going to continue doing it because it's fun. You make a lot of friends and the conversations are always, always amazing, right? Sharing a bowl with somebody. And just like taking like Bobby's packing style or his methods and incorporating into mine or taking Matt's or taking yours, right? You changed the way that I use this Cloud V3. I haven't stopped using it, right? Like that little nuance that you gave me and you're like, no, just
pack that's, it all, that's a little awesome, bit higher. By the way, because you know why? I think initially you were skeptical about it.
I was testing it out and I was doing all of my methods and I was like, man, this thing's not working the way that I want it to. And then you're like, no, just pack it a little bit higher. I was like, okay, let me pack it a little bit higher. I haven't put it down.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right? Like, and then you're like, no, do the three coals, start it up, and then take away one. And then this is how you manage the heat on it. And that little aspect and that little tweak changed the way that this thing performs for me. Like, I use it in every bowl.
That's so awesome.
Right? And to the point where the other night, I was testing out one of Jordan's bowls, 1010 makes. He was one of the, you know, Alpaca's original bowl makers. So some of his designs with the current clay bowls that you see now are kind of world known. And he's, you know, exploring into these artesian type clays and designs now. And he was like, I want you to test out this bowl. Let me know how you think. And we put it on. I put a Cloud Fleet Theory on there. Granted, this is only 3 key bets, okay? 3 key bets, but I got it to smoke for 2.5 hours, Reza.
Nice.
That's always good to hear.
That's amazing. At coal sale, like I usually have that's usually 3 or 6 coals, right? 3 coals, 2.5 hours on the Cloud V3 on a brand new 1010 makes bowl.
And so that everybody understands, you're saying like, that you only put 3 charcoal on there and for 2.5 hours you smoke straight through without changing coal.
Without changing the coals. I have it logged. Ted was on there with me, Ted from Bastard Bowls. all the other guys that we were on the Discord with, I was right after Matt's live. I jumped right on Discord. And I think we ended our live the other day, Matt, at 9:30 my time. I didn't stop smoking till midnight, 12:30 a.m. in the morning, and it was still going.
Jeez, that's pretty crazy.
I was like, did I just pack a unicorn bowl? Yeah, did I just pack a unicorn bowl? Like, what is going on?
Andrew,
but more often than not, that happens.
Andrew, so you need to write it down. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, people think I'm like trying to be salesman-y when I say this is the best HMD we've ever created. It really is.
I really enjoy it.
I poured everything that I have into making this thing incredible, and if people use it properly, I think they're gonna love it.
I've been talking about it for a while since I got it in, and I've been using it, and I really have been enjoying it a lot. It has been a very fantastic and interesting functionality in using it. It's been honestly very, very enjoyable. So we just had another entry. His name is Andrew. Go ahead and write that one down. Andrew also says, I haven't foiled a bowl in 3 years. Cloud One Plus is my favorite, and he owns 4 of them.
Nice.
Thank you, Andrew.
To chime in on the HMD thing, and I already got Andrew down here on the list. It's one of those things where I really highly recommend to anybody who's, you know, just getting into hookah or who is an enthusiast like the rest of us, when you're doing a new product test, and you can ask Paul, Matt. I mean, we go, you know, all the way. Every pack method, everything that we've learned over the years, we try to implement when we're testing new products. But one of the main things that you need to do, of course, not only get advice from your peers, but really try to embrace whatever you think the philosophy might be of that product. And if you have the benefit of speaking to somebody like Reza and actually getting the philosophy from their own lips, you know, try to embrace that, because there is, even for people like us, I think, look, we have these expectations of low price. We have these expectations of our experiences being the same as what we've established. You have to be willing to have new experiences.
Right.
And so with this HMD, for example, you know, we just got comfortable. Lotus One and One Plus was amazing, and we just were used to certain things. But let me tell you, after actually testing the Lotus 3, you know, like really putting it through its paces, learning how to pack with it, it blows the One Plus out of the water, which is something that is, you know, I didn't even think that I would be saying, you know, 6 months ago. It is such a better management of heat, and like the coals, they deplete far more slowly. It retains usable, smokable heat for longer. And that's the point of an HMD as well, not only to mitigate the high temperatures, keep them at a more stable level, but to really, you know, increase the longevity of a session. I mean, look, you know, people used to talk out of their, you know, ass, excuse my language, about, you know, 3.5-4 hour sessions. It was like kind of this, passage, this initiation of entry, like, oh, how long of a session can you get? You get sessions like these unicorn sessions that Paul was talking about consistently with the Lotus 3. And so everybody who hasn't tried it, you need to try this HMD. It's not just, you know, the new version. It really is a whole new world in terms of heat management from the
world. This is not only a commercial for Cloud Lotus. We also want to ask some hard-hitting questions, which we will be getting into very shortly, but everything that Bobby is saying is very true. I do want to talk about the giveaway very quickly, because we have a couple more entries to add into this. The way that you enter into the giveaway, which is a bowl, HMD, and the thermal diffuser, all you have to do is type in anybody you want to, tag anybody that you want to, and type in my entry. So now we have GoBind, GoBind, GoBind. We also have We also have Stefan as well. He's entered into it. You have to be watching when we give this away. Also, like, when we announce your name, if you're not in here at that time, like, you're not going to win it. So you have to watch it all the way through. You are right now admitting that you're going to be locked in for the next 15-20 minutes.
I would just say everybody has to be watching except for Larry. Larry can do it.
I don't know. Larry said he had a loaded question. Larry, he's going to ask a little bit later.
Yeah, Larry said he had a loaded question. He was like,
we'll find out how you feel about Larry later on.
Listen, I get loaded questions all the time. It's not going to change my love for Larry. Okay.
Also, and you said Donald as well?
Also Donald.
Donald
yes.
entered, yeah.
Yes, okay. Donald. We have Donald, GoBind, and Stefan. Those are the next three. And I'm going to be putting you to work a little bit as well, Bobby, because I need you to individually rip up those names so that we can put them in a bowl so that you can draw one out. All right.
Okay.
So You're also going to need to work on that. Afros and Hookah is another entry. Afros and Hookah. If you guys don't know Afros and Hookah on YouTube, please go and check him out. He does a fantastic job with his channel on YouTube, youtube.com/Afros and Hookah. Go and check out his reviews. He's doing some great stuff with Starbuzz reviews and Zomo reviews. I really want to help and promote people that are doing awesome stuff in the world of Hookah on YouTube. So go and check him out. And also we have another entry of Beat. Okay, ready? Beat F Toe Jam. Yeah, there you go. That is an entry. That's there you go. There you go.
All right.
Good luck, Beat of Toe Jam.
Good luck, Toe Jam. Yeah.
Gobine also says, fly Reza to Denmark again and show us the product again. Then we will fill the market. Head over to Denmark. Gobine wants to work.
Gobine, I would love to go to Denmark. Email, because I'll be back in Europe in about 10 days. There so, yeah, go. I wouldn't mind. If you're in Copenhagen, yeah, I would love to. Send us an email and we'll coordinate that with you guys.
All right, so we have one more question that we'll ask that I have prepared, and then we'll move into the question and answer, which we have quite a few questions. Levant is somebody that's been part of my YouTube page for a while. He asked the most awesome questions. So we have a lot of questions from Levant. We have a loaded question from Larry. So if you guys have questions, be prepared and ready to go. If you'd like to enter into the giveaway, very simple. Type, tag anybody that you want to and type in my entry. Then we will have Bobby write it down at the end of the show. We will draw a name from a hat, and that will be the winner of this prize. So my final question that I have for you, for me personally right now, is what are your current projects? Are there other things that you are currently working on that we could be expecting to see in the future? Can you speak about any of those at the moment? But what is Cloud currently working on at the moment?
One of our projects that I will speak about is we actually invented the upward purge in 2014 with the Chrysalis, and we never included it in the original Monarch or the Altheria or the Calyx. And so we're working now to finalize that and include some kind of like an autolock system for a multi-hose adapter for the Calyx, the Altheria, and the Monarch, because that's been one of the most vocal pieces of feedback that we've gotten on our systems, which is, hey, I'd like to be able to smoke this with my friends, and I don't want to use my thumb to block the hole. Understandably, I'm not all knocking that. I mean, I love the idea of an autolock. And because our system is a little bit different than the regular base and stem, we're actually having to invent a way to manufacture and allow for that kind of experience. And so we've been working on different prototypes, and hopefully sometime in maybe April. July or August, you guys should see something around those.
Right on.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, very cool. I think that will go ahead and lead us into our question and answer segment. I think we'll go ahead and start diving into that. If you have questions that you want to ask to Reza, go ahead and feel free to start getting those entered into it. I'll ask a couple of questions off of the YouTube real quick, Paul, and then I'll have you ask the question from Larry, because I want no part of that. That will be all Larry and Paul asking. I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's a wonderful question. But I'm going to go ahead and ask a couple of these questions from Levant. He's the one that's been asking a lot of questions here on the YouTube page. So if you have any questions on YouTube, go ahead and start writing them down, and I'll ask them as they come up. The very first one that I have from Levant is, what does Reza think of HMD competition? Not just the Provost, but he feels like the Provost might be a main rival to your product. I would disagree with that personally. I think I consider the Provost to be a hookah tool, which is different than what I consider an HMD to be. I feel like a Provost should be in everybody's tool belt and how they use it. I don't know what I would consider to be your number one rival, but what is your opinion on those other types of HMDs, and how do they help push how do they help push competition? How do they help push innovation, and how do they help push Cloud and stuff? But what do you think of the competition exactly?
I think companies like Quasar, I have a lot of respect for them, which is part of the reason why I wanted to see them when I was in Dubai. They are innovators. Truly, they really are. I mean, like, they will sit down and they will try and figure out, because what they did with the Quasar was they essentially innovated an object that allowed them to deliver a heat management experience that wasn't necessarily rooted in what the Lotus was already bringing to the market. What we see a lot of right now is essentially a Lotus base without a lid. and they're using what would be called the Russian stack method for charcoal. Mm-hmm. Number one, I've smoked hookahs like that. It's definitely not for me with, you know, just stacking charcoal on top. I like the lid. I think the lid does a lot to help me get to the heat profile that I need for my tobacco, and that delivers really strong smoke with really pronounced flavor notes. But I don't see those as innovative. And so, yes, they are competing with us, but I don't know that they brought innovation aside from tweaking the design somehow. I do know that there are a lot of companies, I've spoken to some of the owners that are also now working on electric heads. And I think that's the next place that you're going to see true innovation as far as heat management goes. And that's what I'm really excited about. Whether it's Cloud or another company that does it, I think it will deliver something. And there are obviously electric heads in the market right now, but I'm sure we've all experienced the ceramic donut or whatever it was that
right.
just stuck on top of foil. And it gave you about 33 seconds of really good flavor. And then after that, it was like, you know, just smoking in hell. I mean, it was just fire.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting progressively hotter to the point where it was like creating plasma. I mean, it was just like,
yeah.
Like, I have no idea what this thing is. But no, all joking aside, I know that there are some companies that have invested a lot. They're partnering with a lot of, I mean, I have been told by people that I've spoken to that there are, you know, physicists from CERN. This isn't hyperbole. It's not a joke. Like, that have friends who love hookah. And so they've like sat down and helped them like problem solve. Nice. It's quite possible that once the electric head emerges into the market, that it will shatter the barrier between hookah and the rest of science. I mean, like, it might just like rip the fabric space of space time.
Yeah. Let's go.
I'm ready. So much about electric heads and when that will actually become a more relevant way of smoking. It's been around quite a while, honestly, but it's nothing that's ever caught, excuse the pun, fire. And it's just never been something that I feel has ever taken, you know, a large chunk.
Matt, what I'll tell you is that if you ever have a good session with electric head, it is the purest smoke you'll ever experience.
Interesting.
It's mm-hmm. extremely clean to the point where you will taste the impurity in the flavor that the manufacturer used.
Right.
And interesting.
What
will
end up happening with the electric head is that if somebody is able to create a really strong electric head that delivers the right experience, manufacturers will have to change. Some of them will have to change their flavor profiles.
I like that. All right,
that's a good thing, right? Like,
yeah, that would be.
It improves what we have in our hobby. I'm ready for that. I would love for somebody to be like, hey, we're testing out these prototypes. Let me know what you think. Man, I'm in.
The only one that I've ever tested, I was not a huge fan of. The only one I've ever used, I was not a personal fan of. All right, so this is another question from Levant. We'll do one more YouTube, and then we'll go to Facebook. If you guys have questions, just write them down. We'll start asking them away. Levant says, what does Reza think of the European market versus the American market? He says, which has been more profitable? If you'd like to answer that, feel free to. But I would like to hear the differences between the European market and the American market as well. What are the differences in your opinion?
I would say the main difference for me, number one, the community, the sense of community is identical, right? Like, there is a real, and I know a lot of the people in the US and a lot of people in Europe, they communicate with each other, and that's how they learn about the new products that are on the horizon, right? That's certainly how the Lotus made it into Europe. It was American enthusiasts who had friends in Europe who were like, hey, you have to check out this product, right? And we can't advertise. And so because we can't advertise, we really are reliant upon the word of mouth. And so from the perspective of community, I think they're identical. Both have very, very strong communities. I would say that the European community feels bigger. And I don't know if it's because it's a much denser population center. You know, they have denser population centers that are closer to each other, and they have really fantastic public transportation that makes it easy to travel between cities. So I don't know if it's that, but I mean, like, yeah, the biggest hookah shows right now are happening in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. And I would love to see something like that in the US.
Will you be at Hookah Expo Worldwide 5 this year in Las Vegas? Is there a chance that we see Reza or Cloud?
Yeah, I think so. Awesome. I think 100%.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
I owe it to John. John is...
I mean, he broke one of your bowls. You might as well show him how to use it right.
I consider John a friend, man. I really like the guy. He's genuinely one of the best-hearted people in our industry, and I hope people support him because he's a good-natured fellow. Right.
One more quick question from YouTube real quick. Beat of Toe Jam. He says, what's the best double apple you've had?
Beat of Toe Jam, that's a trick question because it doesn't exist.
Hey!
Ooh, shots fired.
Look, I entered hookah kind of smoking double apple like many, many people. I can't do it anymore, though. And in fairness to double apple all over the world, I haven't tried double apple in about a decade. So if anybody has any good double apple recommendations, I actually don't mind trying it.
I got one for you. I have one for you. If you want
I got one too.
A very modern take on double apple, highly recommend you try Azores Dubai Apple.
Damn it. Okay, never mind.
Is that going to be the same one?
It was the same one.
It's a fantastic double apple flavor.
I sing it
from the Raptors. It is very good. It's a modern take on double apple. I highly recommend you give that one a try.
There's more sweetness to it.
Yes, yes.
And it helps.
Because the other double apple, at least back in the day, was like anise. You know, it was like...
It still is.
There's a lot more sweetness.
I don't even like black licorice because of the whole anise thing. You know, it's like...
If you're looking for a good double apple mix, this is what I have to recommend to you.
You know what we'll do? You know what? Here's what we'll do.
Okay.
Here's what I propose. You guys come to whatever Cloud's going to be doing at Hookah Expo 5. And we'll do a double apple bake off. We'll figure out which one is going to be the
best.
Nice.
We'll do it.
Fantastic.
We'll do a blind taste of all the different double, and we'll have people come up and we'll be like, look, this is my favorite double apple. And it's not going to be like a voting thing. It'll be like us sitting there and we just say thumbs up, thumbs down, very much like Gladiator style.
I like it.
Okay, let's go. Yeah. I'm working something up for Expo. I'm hoping all you guys can be at this thing.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be the after party.
Awesome. Do you want to go ahead and ask the question?
I'll send everybody invites.
Larry, Paul, do you have the question in front of you?
Larry never sent it.
Oh, it's in the chat. I'll find it and I'll ask it real quick then. This question is from. Oh, it's not loading for me now. Gosh dang it! Where's the pinned message?
Larry, re-ask your question. Now I'm really curious.
I pinned it, but it's not showing me my pinned question.
I think you deducted it.
Let's see. Let me try to pull it up over here.
And Matt, what was your double apple mix you were about to say?
The double apple.
Oh wait, I got it.
Okay. The double apple mix, real quick, is Al Focker, two apple, which is I think a really good double apple flavor. Mix it with Al Focker peach. It will blow you away. And the reason why is because the anise in the Al Focker two apple is kind of like when you add salt to a fruit and you have that seasoning that accentuates the peach flavor.
Like
and it really adds so much complexity to it. You get this very unique tasting style of mix when you mix peach and two apple. Only Al Focker is the only one that I've ever tried that I feel this way about. So try those combinations. It is absolutely – it's my go-to lounge mix. When I go to a lounge, those are the two flavors that I ask for because you ain't going to mess it up and you're going to have an enjoyable session with it.
I like that philosophy. I'll say really quickly, I don't smoke too much Fumari, but what was it, Paul? Was it a Aloha Mango or one of them has it has an anise note with the mango mix, which is
it was
really
Island
nice.
Island
Papaya. Island Papaya then. Okay, maybe.
Maybe it's Island Papaya. I'm not. They have another mango that just came out very recently, but yeah.
We'll figure it out, but really, really good. What percentages, Matt, for that mix?
I just do 50-50. I mean, if you're feeling a little bit dangerous, you want a little bit more of the anise, add a little more anise. If you want a little bit less, add a little bit less. It's really, I try my hardest to not be complicated at all. Just throw that shit in there and you'll be good to go. All right, you got that question, Paul?
I do. Okay, so this is a question from Larry. And he says, we hear about other brands getting cease and desist from Cloud for trying to enter the HMD market. What exactly does Cloud have patented? And are those patents listed on the main website for people to look at so that they can keep from infringing on those patents?
Great question.
Well, Larry, I think there are a lot of rumors about Cloud in the forum. And in my experience, forums are like town squares. There are sometimes people in there that are like Socrates. Yeah, they have something to say. And then there are sometimes people in there that have mastered the art of talking out of their ass. And for me, I'm very passionate about this at this point, because I think cloud has been maligned more than any other company. And at this point, it's important for me to kind of set the record straight. We send cease and desist letters when somebody infringes on our patents, which is what any other company would do. And I would suspect, Larry, even you with your big heart, you would probably do if you had a utility patent on some kind of a product. We're obligated to do that, actually, by law. We have to protect our patent. It's not enough to have a patent. You actually have to protect it. We don't use it as a weapon to prevent people from coming into the HMD space. Every single well-known HMD that came into the market or tried to come into the market, we offered licenses to the owners. And without exception, I think almost all of them rejected our licenses. And the only one that I can remember that really took a license was Matt Pear, and there might be other ones. And I have a lot of respect for those guys, right? Like, they came to us and they're like, okay, you want a license? How much do you want? We negotiated the value and then they agreed. So we're not trying to prevent people from entering the market. If they're innovating something unique like Quasar, fantastic. Good. Continue. Do what you're doing and we'll do what we're doing. And hopefully we can actually be friends and support each other and potentially collaborate. But if somebody's coming into the market and they basically took a Lotus, tweaked the shape, maybe changed some colors and then said, hey, this is our HMD and we're expected to stand by and like clap while they're doing that, it's not going to happen.
That's super interesting. I did not know that about Matt Pear. That is very, very interesting. I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
Plus points to Matt Pear. Yeah. Already
I mean, I think Reza hit a key point there is collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody's willing to collaborate. And I think more people should be doing it.
No, everybody is not willing to collaborate. And I know that because I've talked to many, many companies.
They should be more willing to.
I wish they were. And I think, to be honest with you, a lot of the companies that have a really positive perception, maybe the owners are not the saints that you think they are. Mm. So I'll leave it at that. Larry, I hope that answered your question. If you have Larry, my love for you has faded not one iota.
My goodness. The legend of Larry lives strong. We have another entry, Bobby. The name is Sid, S-Y-D. Sid is another entry. We are winding down. We are getting close to the end. So if you are looking to enter into this giveaway, it's pretty simple. On Facebook, all you have to do is tag somebody and say my entry. If you're on YouTube, all you have to say is my entry. And then share the video wherever you want to share it. I will then tell Bobby the entry. He is writing them down on pieces of paper. At the end of the show, we're going to pull one out of the hat. And that is going to be the winner of this $190 prize package, which includes a bowl, HMD, and the thermal diffuser as well. Somebody's going to be having a very, very good time with some very good sessions in there as well. So I do have a couple other questions that I'm going to be asking on the Facebook at the moment. If you have questions that you'd like to ask Reza, right now is the time to ask. Any question is up, AMA style. If you have something you've been feeling wanting to say it now. This is an opportunity for you. It says, how often does Reza smoke? This is from Levant as well. How often does Reza smoke? Does he ever take fasts from smoking?
Yeah, for sure. There'll be periods of time where I might go weeks or months without smoking. I mean, it depends on where I am in the world, what's going on. But I would say on average about 3 times a week. In the last month, like multiple times a day, because I'm meeting with other people that enjoy smoking. And if I'm like sitting in a room and there are other people enjoying a hookah, I'm going to enjoy a hookah for sure.
Absolutely.
So it's been, it's actually been great.
Very nice, very nice. All right. Let's see. I think I have one more question in here. This one's kind of towards me, it looks like. Levant says, did you close Lounge down due to profitability or for some other reason? Which city was it in? I had a hookah lounge in Idaho, Burley, Idaho, very small town. And I didn't close it down because of profitability. I closed it down because of me looking for other avenues of making more money. I at the time, I wasn't really versed on the idea of like advertising, marketing, really trying to like get my lounge to the next level. I was very young when I opened it. I opened it when I was 20 years old, ran until I was 22 years old. And it got to the point where like I really needed to try to figure out how do I make more money? What else do I need to do? and it was something that I had done. I tried to open up a hookah shop as well into the next town over. I had a lounge. I had a shop. I was trying to figure out other ways to do things, but at the end of the day, I kind of broke down, and I didn't know what else to do, so I moved away from that at the time. I regret it now. I wish I would have kept it open and tried, you know, more things with it, obviously, but there is no way to have known what was going to happen in the past, obviously. So that was a long time ago. That was like 15 years ago now, almost. Jeez, I'm an old wow. man. I think that'll do it, unless somebody else.
That's the guy with the gray hair and 47 years under his belt.
Oh, yeah.
You are not old, my son. You're okay. Don't worry.
Every child I have ages me up about 5 years, though. So I just keep.
Okay, technically, okay. In that situation, then you're the elder.
All right. So if anybody has any more questions, this is the time to ask it. It's an open floor. We have 20 people watching at the moment, and I would love to hear any of the stuff that you have from that you'd like to ask, because now is that time, obviously, to do that. And I want to leave it open. Paul or Bobby, do you have anything that you'd like to add while we wait for any questions to pop in for a moment?
No, I think Paul, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we covered a lot of ground. I was saying what I wanted to about novel experiences. Just highly recommend that people remain open and really give things a fair shake, and try not to get caught up into a lot of the hearsay that happens. I mean, the question that Larry asked is an old topic of conversation between Reza and myself. I asked him when we were first becoming friends. I was like, you know, what's going on there? I'm hearing all this and that, he kind of set the record straight. And anybody who's involved in the industry in any way, I mean, Matt, you've owned a lounge. Anyone who does demos or goes to lounges, you know, and has a real feel for the community. I mean, there's a ton of beautiful things, you know, going on and beautiful relationships that are formed. But also, as Reza briefly mentioned, a lot of people, I feel, and a lot of companies as well, don't care about the community in the same way. And that's mm-hmm. what's really, you know, brought me around to really. And of course, there are plenty of people out there who don't want to, you know, malign anybody wrongfully. But I think most people are just interested in making money and not innovating and not about the relationships and the users on the other end. And so, you know, keep these things in mind as well when using and buying products.
Yeah. So I was going to say too, Bobby, on the fact of the some of the other topics that we were talking to, in regards to the echo chamber that is prominent in the hookah groups and on Instagram and et cetera, Reddit. You know, you name it, right? Sometimes those are really detrimental to the way that the brands and other people perceive their product and their willingness to want to collaborate and be part of the community. So when you hear rumors facilitate around a brand or any entity that is hookah, right? Take that with a grain of salt and just be like, is this actual true fact, or the owners of this product or their vision of this product? You know, because more often than not, they're willing to come out and say, hey, no, this is what I actually intend for this product to be used at, or this is my vision for it. And I'm sorry that it's, you know, performing maybe a different way than you had intended, but that wasn't the case, right? Yeah. And then it would just kind of snuff out some of those rumor mills. But the groups are notorious for years to take a popular opinion and make it into a popular fact, which is untrue for most cases. And that Cloud, unfortunately, was a victim of that. And so some of the other brands, you know, Tangiers is a victim of that as well. It's one of those things that I think for me personally, I've been trying to not go that route when I have these conversations, or when they start popping up, you can see it in the groups and you can go in there and just be like, hey, actually, you know, you can just ask them directly.
Which is what the community is for, you know. And you know, a lot of times these things are, you know, completely unfounded. Like, just a rumor starts and then people perpetuate it without having the experience themselves. So, real quick, want to give, you know, props to Reza, who's always been willing to do this, and Matt as well, for us being able to set this up. Because this is one of the ways in which, you know, you can engage with the community and set some of these records straight. And I encourage more developers, and I imagine that some of the things we're speaking to, like a pattern, will emerge, you know, those who participate and those who do not. But I encourage other developers and high level enthusiasts or lounge owners to take part in these types of discussions. I think it's very important for the community.
Yeah. Not just that, Bobby. Like, I think that, you know, like,
the high level discussions and the community members within the groups, they have to realize that the enthusiast base is probably 1% of all hookah smokers.
We're
very loud. We're very loud. And to be so combative about somebody that's trying to bring joy and innovation into the hobby is probably not the way to go.
Be more supportive. Absolutely.
Yes. Support those around you. Let's watch it all rise together. We don't need one person to rise. Yeah. We need it all to rise together.
And that's what I'm saying. I was like, that's unfortunate that more people don't want to collaborate. That sucks.
Yeah.
Because we're so small.
All right. So we have one more question. And then after that, I think we're probably going to move towards the end of it and we'll draw out that winner. The last question that's from good. Levant at the moment is, what is Reza's favorite brand and flavors?
Nice.
Good question. I personally don't have like one brand that I love. I have flavors from brands that I love, right? Like, so I, earlier at the beginning of our conversation, I talked about Maranji from Pure. A lot of the flavors from Fumari, I really like. Al-Fakhr, some of their flavors I really enjoy. Azure, Ugly Tobacco, FML. I mean, like, it really depends. One of the companies that I think does flavor better than almost anybody that I've ever experienced is Tangiers. But it's dark tobacco, and so I can't really smoke it. I'll take like one or two puffs, but because tobacco, if I smoke a lot of Tangiers, it will affect me for sure. And so I don't have any one specific brand. And if I was going to give advice to somebody that was new in hookah, I would say try not to become a zealot about any brand, right? For sure. Instead, kind of look at the palette. The way an artist would look at a palette, right? And paint with your own brushes and your own colors. It'll be nice.
I'd say just to add on to that very quickly, most big shisha brands have, you know, several bangers in their arsenal in terms of flavor, you know? And so the way you described it is really how a lot of us enthusiasts do it as well. Though most of us do smoke, you know, darker, stronger things. It's part of the experience we enjoy exploring, but every brand has some must try flavors, so definitely get out there and experiment.
I use that quote, Reza?
Oh yeah, that was fantastic.
I'm gonna quote you that. That was a good quote. Paint with your own brushes and your own colors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's I like that.
Yeah. That was fantastic. I was actually
I'm going to quote you saying that you're going to quote that, man.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's do it.
I was actually going to say, what a political answer.
Pretty good quote. Paul Silau.
What a political answer.
Yeah, I was going to say, what a great political answer, but then you went into a whole other part of it, and I was like, no, this is just a fantastic answer, just in general. You did it. That was,
honestly,
I agree.
Believe me, I'm not trying to be political. I don't. If you came to my place and you saw my tobacco collection, there's, you know, social smoke, everything is in there. So.
Just like ours. I mean, we got, you know, sure. You should see Paul's assortment and Matt's as well.
Well, let's give away this bowl. Let's give away this bowl HMD and thermal diffuser. Let's go ahead and with it. We're giving away the Samsaris bowl. I believe you're going to let them choose which Samsaris that they get to choose from. And then the Citra, which is the thermal diffuser. I'm pretty sure I said that right. Right.
Yeah, all three of them come in one pack.
Yes, which is I really enjoy the fact that, like, when I use one, I can use another one without needing to worry about clean. I really enjoy that fact. And then we're also going to be giving away the HMD 3, the Lotus 3. So let's go ahead and he has them all in this beautiful ceramic bowl. What a great nod to the fact of hookah bowls and stuff like that. I'm going to read what Larry just now wrote. Larry just said, I mainly smoke dark, but that doesn't stop me from telling other people to smoke Eternal Smoke Lime Lit or Houdini's Secret, LOL. These are bangers. Brunzina from Element Air.
Brazina.
Brazina.
That's what I'm smoking right now.
Matt.
yeah, that word.
It's Bazina. It's Bazina.
That word, exactly. That's what I said.
It's elderberry and some floral notes. It's top tier flavor. I was really waiting for this to come to the States.
Yeah. Acai, Matt.
Let's pull. It's pronounced fuck you. Anyways, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. And you drew the name?
I did draw the name. Right.
So we need a small little drum roll.
It is the man, another legend in the community, the man with 1 million accounts on social media.
Really?
We already know who this is. It is Stefan.
Congratulations. We have to make sure he's in this chat right now. Stefan, you have to comment.
We may need to redraw.
You have to comment right now. Obviously, there's a little bit of a delay, so I'm going to be waiting for a moment, but you have to comment. If you do not comment, we will move on to another winner. The whole point of this is you have to be a part of it. Oh, you guys tagged
him. You guys seem suspicious of Stefan.
if you tag him, then he knows we're talking about him.
Yeah, no. I would say you can't do that.
It's too late. We already had a couple people tag him. So we're going to give him a brief moment. We'll give him, you know, the next 45 seconds. That seems fair, right?
45 sure. seconds.
Yeah, exactly. 45 seconds starting now. If he does not answer to that, then we are going to move on to the next person and draw a different name. Because the whole point of this, I mean, he hasn't answered yet. So I kind of feel like he's not watching right now, because if I was watching and I won, I would probably comment very quickly. So what do you think? Are we ready?
Of course, Stefan is probably like jumping out of the shower. He's like, I'm drying myself.
We're giving him time. I feel like Stefan's time is probably moved past. I apologize. Yeah, yeah. The whole point was
Did Stefan not answer then?
He has not answered.
No, not yet. Yeah.
Stefan, just so you know, we were also going to add as a surprise the Chrysalis Monarch to that one.
Oh,
only to that one. Only to that one.
Only to that one.
Only to that one.
Yeah. Too bad.
Okay.
I'm going to have to throw my hat in this ring here.
All right. Go ahead and draw another name. I apologize, Stefan. The whole point was to be watching the show as it's happening. So we are going to move on now. And you were tagged multiple times. So.
Drum roll here. All right. And we got, you know, I'm happy here. I mean, unless this is somebody that I don't know. Rose of Death.
Oh, Rose F. Death, longtime follower on YouTube / Morning Hookah. If you're not subscribed to Morning YouTube.com/Morning Hookah, you better get yourself subscribed on there. I'm gonna guess that he's on here watching, because he's always been a very strong listener and watcher, and he's always commenting. So Rose F. Death, I strongly hope that you are here at this moment, because I know you're somebody right away. Sup all. That's immediately. Yeah. Sup all.
Boom, 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 boom. Congratulations. I'll also say I'm happy with that too. As much as I love Stefan, you know, he's another high level enthusiast, and perhaps Rose of Death might be, you know, make more use of some of these products in their arsenal. I think Stefan has plenty, and you know, Stefan knows us, so we can get him a Lotus 3 anytime.
Hold on, girl.
Yeah, I think we're going to go see Stefan soon.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. I have one last question, Matt. Can I ask it?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So I listened to a lot of podcasts and I started re-listening to Tim Ferriss lately, and he always asks this question on his podcast at the end of it. Reza, if you had a billboard that you could broadcast to the entire world and you could say one thing, one quote, one anything, what would it be?
Nice.
Wow, that's a very good question.
About hookah specifically, or...?
For anything, life in general, hookah might fit in with this because this is all hookah podcast, but like anything in general, anything.
I would quote one of my greatest teachers, my Sufi master, and I would say that whatever you think you are, you're even more than that.
Ooh, very nice.
I like that.
That's great. That's a fantastic way to end this. Reza, I can't say thank
you
enough.
Cloud right under that.
I can't thank you enough for being a part of this and hanging out with us for a little while to talk about hookah and all these wonderful things. This was a longer episode than I was even expecting it to be, but I'm so glad that we were all together to share this time and enjoy this conversation. It was an absolutely fantastic time.
Likewise.
I have nothing else to add to it. Bobby, you got anything else?
No, thank you for being here. Thank you for doing this. We'll have to play that trivia game next time when we have more time. But thank you so much, guys, for putting this together. And thank you, Reza, for being here. Go get some sleep, you know, get some hookah and food in the morning.
Yeah, this is the evening for Reza. Paul, anything final from you?
No, thank you so much for doing this, supporting our communities like you always have. And I look forward to seeing you at Expo, spending some time with you guys. And I'll make sure the party is bumping.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I will get the information from Rose F. Death, and I will send it over to you, Reza, so we can get his winnings out to him. Thank you so much once again for joining us, Reza. Any final words from you?
Number one, I want to thank Bobby, because he and I started communicating a little bit over a year ago, and he's been incredible in terms of helping me to plug into the community in ways that honestly I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, Paul, grateful to you for, you know, jumping on that first call with me and Bobby over there and kind of talking about what the possibilities might be. And Matt, you for doing this, man. I mean, I know your daughters are standing over there and they're like, they're ready to go. And you're like, so okay, girl. Like, tell me more about what your favorite flavor, you know. So, guys, honestly, I have nothing but love for you. I'm so grateful. Likewise. You guys, not just for what you're doing for cloud, but I think what you're doing for the community, because whatever happens, cloud may not always be there, but the community will. And I applaud you. So thank you guys, everybody who was watching. Thank you for staying. Stefan, you blew it, bro. That's all I'm going to say to you.
Oh, we're going to give him crap about this.
It would have been any of the monarchs, man. That was going to be yours. But
oh boy. Oh boy. All right, guys. Oh man. Larry, this down.
Larry, I'll see you in Vegas, my friend. Bring the pizza and the and the remaining daiquiri mix.
Daiquiris, 100%.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. As always, make sure you tune in to Morning Hookah every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time with a new guest, new topic, and more fun to be had. Thank you guys, everybody, for joining and being a part of this. Until next time, I'll see you when the smoke clears. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.